Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the 2020 U.S. Senate race, the Badger 2 medicine area, and we'll hear about a new restaurant in Billings from Stella Fong of YPR's Flavors Under the Big Sky. It's Wednesday, October 2nd. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Starting yesterday, pharmacies in Montana will need to see identification from patients picking up prescriptions for opioid painkillers like hydrocodone or oxycodone. Montana Public Radio's Maxine Spire reports.
A driver's license, tribal ID card, or a school ID with a photo will work. The mandatory ID checks at pharmacies are just one part of a 2019 state law intended to curb opioid addiction in Montana. John Bennion, Montana's chief deputy attorney general, says the law aims to prevent opioid addictions that can start from getting a painkiller prescription following surgery.
Many of these measures have been enacted by other states, and they're just consistent with best practices.
With the new law, Montana joins more than 30 other states who have put in place guidelines to limit the supply of opioid painkillers that can be prescribed by doctors. The policy took effect October 1st. It also requires doctors to look up a patient's history before issuing any opioid prescriptions, and it limits first-time users of opioid medications to a 7-day supply. Montana lawmakers passed the bill requested by Attorney General Tim Fox during the legislative session in March. Supporters of these opioid limits say that they help prevent excess pills from being diverted for illegal use, but opponents argue that opioid limits could lead those with addictions to turn to other drugs, including heroin. Between 2015 and 2017, 86 Montana residents died from an opioid overdose, according to the state health department. Although the rate of opioid prescriptions being issued in Montana has gone down in recent years, in 2017, Montana providers still wrote more than 60 opioid prescriptions for every 100 Montana residents. That's slightly higher than the U.S. average, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Montana received nearly $4 million from the federal government for opioid and other substance abuse treatment in August, and Governor Steve Bullock is set to release a report Wednesday with new data on Montana's fight against opioid abuse. I'm Maxine Spire, Montana Public Radio News.
Two more Montana Democrats are entering the party's primary to challenge Republican Steve Daines in the 2020 U.S. Senate race. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Cora Newman of Bozeman announced her candidacy Tuesday morning in a video.
I'm running for U.S. Senate because when we come together, we have the power to build a better future for all of our families.
Newman says she's focused on affordable and accessible health care, meaning protecting the Affordable Care Act. She says her campaign priorities also include protecting public lands, removing corporate special interests from politics, and job creation. In her campaign announcement, Newman criticized Daines' support for the 2017 federal tax changes. Newman holds a Ph.D. in international development from the University of Oxford and a master's in public health from Columbia University. More than a decade ago, she founded Global First Ladies Alliance, working to help first ladies around the world advance policy change. Another Bozemanite, Michael Knowles, has also filed paperwork to run for the U.S. Senate, but he has not yet publicly announced his campaign. The other Democrats in the race include Helena Mayer Wilmot Collins and John Muse, a Navy veteran and engineer from Loma. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana's congressional delegation is asking the Federal Bureau of Investigations to reinstate a full-time human trafficking agent in the state. Olivia Reingold reports.
FBI Special Agent Brandon Walter was the only full-time agent assigned to human trafficking cases in the state. Now he'll divide his time between investigating human trafficking cases and crimes in Indian Country, as first reported by the Billings Gazette. Montana's three U.S. legislators have all written FBI Director Christopher Wray asking him to keep a full-time human trafficking agent and another full-time agent assigned to Indian Country. That action is something Billings City Council member Penny Ronning fought hard for. Did you contact any of our legislators?
All of them.
Ronning, who's also the co-founder of the Billings Task Force on Human Trafficking, says the change will make Montana's communities less safe, not more. She says federal agents can help build investigations for federal crimes, which carry higher punishments than the state level. She wants to see Agent Walter return to full-time human trafficking work as soon as possible, but says that Indian Country deserves their own investigator, too. The FBI did not respond to requests for comment in time for broadcast. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Wilderness advocates and a Texas oil company agreed yesterday to end an oil and gas lease on land considered sacred to the Blackfeet tribe. Aaron Bolton reports the settlement permanently removes all but one of the development leases in the Badger 2 Medicine area.
After the U.S. Interior Department canceled all remaining oil and gas leases in the area in 2017, Moncrief Oil went to court along with another leaseholder to argue for their right to drill. They both won, but the cases were quickly appealed to the D.C. Appellate Court. Now Moncrief has reached an agreement with the Wilderness Society, an intervener in the case, to retire its lease. That's the only detail of the settlement being released publicly. Peter Angst is the Northern Rockies Regional Director for the Wilderness Society.
But over the last couple months, the Wilderness Society has been, in negotiations with Moncrief Oil about settling this out of court, and the lease has been retired, basically effective today.
In a press release, Moncrief said it could have developed the area responsibly, but, quote, the sensitivity to this special area outweighs development. The Badger 2 Medicine area of the Lewis and Clark National Forest borders the Blackfeet Reservation and Glacier National Park, and is within the ancestral home of the Blackfeet tribe. The tribe has been fighting to stop drilling there for decades. John Murray is the Blackfeet Nation's historic preservation officer.
You know, this is one hell of a big day, you know, and then it's kind of hard to take everything over the last 30-some years and then try to, narrow it down to a few sentences.
But one oil and gas lease remains in the Badger 2 Medicine. It's held by a Louisiana company called Solenex. The fight over that lease is still before the D.C. Court of Appeals. There have been calls for Acting Bureau of Land Management Director William Perry Pendley, who represented Solenex in the matter, to recuse himself from the issue. But so far, he has not done so. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A clean energy report released yesterday ranks states on their green-friendly policies, and some parts of the Rocky Mountain region are lagging behind coastal states. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Wyoming pulled in last place in this year's energy efficiency scorecard, with North Dakota alongside it. Montana ranked somewhere in the middle at slot 36. The nonprofit American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy compiles its report on a yearly basis and scores all 50 states and the District of Columbia based on policy and government programs, like clean energy incentives, public benefit programs, and low-emission transportation policies. Lead author Weston Berg says Montana ranked much the same on energy efficiency as in previous years.
The states that we see achieving most higher levels of savings are those that have provided performance incentives to reward and encourage utilities to achieve saving targets.
Montana's scorecard points out that the state hasn't set long-term energy savings goals or established policies to decrease vehicle emissions or increase the use of electric cars. The 13th annual State Energy Efficiency Scorecard lists Massachusetts, California, and Rhode Island as the most energy-efficient states. It scores Wyoming, North Dakota, and West Virginia as the least energy-efficient states. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
A handful of anti-Semitic flyers were left on the doorsteps of Whitefish businesses earlier this week. The Montana Human Rights Network believes it was a targeted attack as the local Jewish community begins Rosh Hashanah, or the Jewish New Year. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Love Lives Here, a local affiliate of the Montana Human Rights Network, says a few businesses reported anti-Semitic flyers Monday that were left overnight. Organizer Sherilyn DeVries says these types of public attacks aren't incredibly common in the Flathead Valley, but she says they do happen a few times every year.
And we will get a rash of them. Most of the time, they put them on business doors. Occasionally, they end up in neighborhoods.
Similar flyers popped up in Helena last week. DeVries says Love Lives Here and the Montana Human Rights Network don't typically announce when attacks happen in order to avoid giving notoriety to white supremacists. However, the organization wanted to make note of recent events happening around Rosh Hashanah. The Human Rights Network has been tracking incidents of white supremacy since 1989. Organization officials say they saw a 20-fold increase during and following the 2016 election. Some of that spike is attributed to the public becoming more aware of attacks and reporting them.
People are beginning to call us right away about it. In the past, I think people would get them and they didn't know what to do with them, and so they would either throw them away and just feel sickened by them, but they weren't sure exactly what to do.
You can find a link on how to report similar incidents along with this story at mtpr.org. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Meat lovers in Billings will be pleased to hear that a new restaurant is opening this week, featuring aged prime meats and an Argentinian wood-burning grill. Stella Fong of YPR's Flavors Under the Big Sky brings us this flavor moment.
In this flavor moment, we find the answer to where's the beef. Cuts can be found on Montana Avenue at the new Buffalo Block at the Rex. The restaurant opened in 1909 by H. Alfred Heimer and his friend Buffalo Bill Cody is going through another chapter. Rick and Nikki Larson purchased the Rex last spring. After more than a year of remodeling, Buffalo Block at the Rex is due to open October 1st. In the building with the structural bones of yesteryear, it now has a new bar, more fine dining, a refrigerator for aging prime meats, and an Argentinian wood-burning grill. General Manager Mitch Fox shares what guests should be expecting.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to offer an elevated experience to guests that are looking for a place that they can come and still be comfortable and be welcomed in a very warm way without feeling that stuffy pretense that you may experience in a larger city where you may find a restaurant that has the same level of service and same level of cuisine, but maybe is not as approachable.
With room for about 100 people for fine and casual dining, and 100 more on the patio, Executive Chef Austin Stewart shares what Buffalo Block will be.
We're a prime steakhouse. We do prime steaks. Most places that dry age like we do in-house will use a choice or an upper choice cut and dry age it. We are 100% prime, which is the top 3% of beef produced in the United States. And not a lot of people take care to dry age and cultivate a product like that. It's great on its own, but when you really take some time, it turns into an outstanding product. So all of our steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days, and then our dry age steaks are aged another 30 to 45 days on top of that.
The process of dry aging concentrates flavor and helps to tenderize meat. Also on the menu, there is a selection of seafood, but the choice of oysters is a step back, honoring the times when Heimer was heading up the Rex.
That was one of the items when I got hired and I learned about the history of the building, I fell in love with. To continue that tradition, to continue the tradition of the Rex here in Billings, it's an honor. It was the restaurant that everybody went to for special occasions.
To accompany the steaks, there is a choice of sauces from a creamy horseradish, gorgonzola cream, and béarnaise. For side dishes, there's baked potato, fries, vegetables, and...
Our featured side dish is our lobster mac and cheese, knuckle and claw lobster, and then it's a smoked Gouda, smoked cheddar, and Havarti blend that we use with a little bit of Parmesan that's absolutely out of this world. It mirrors the smoky flavor that we get from our wood-grilled steaks, and it's an awesome pairing.
The next time you might be craving a fine cut of beef, accompanied with fine and approachable service, wander on down to Buffalo Block at the Rex, due to open on October 1st. This is Flavor Moments, and I'm Stella Fong.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.